I looked up a definition for the word because, and I'd like to read what I found. It said, for the reason that, or since, also means used to introduce a word or phrase that stands for a clause expressing an explanation or reason. So because. And I've been thinking about this off and on this week because haven't really found so many scriptures in the Bible that use the word because. I tell you the truth, I don't know for sure how many times the word occurs in our English King James Version or not, but there's three passages of scriptures we're going to look at that I believe the participants in the setting could have, if they lived in our generation, used this word because. And it's a word that introduces a phrase or a clause that gives an expresses or an it gives an explanation. So I'd like to turn to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, and notice the first one that I'd like to read, and maybe kind of set the tone for what I'm thinking of on this because. 1 Samuel chapter 15, and we'll go begin reading in verse 13, I believe. And this is the setting is that Samuel, the prophet, and this is Samuel as an older man that his mother had brought him as a very young child. He was a son of promise, and his mother promised God to consecrate him to his service if she would give him a son, and Samuel is a product of that. And I don't totally understand how this went from one generation to the next, but Samuel was a genuine servant and man of God. He was true to the Lord, and I'm very thankful for his example. So the setting here is that Samuel had came to the king and told him that the Lord was directing the king through Samuel to go and destroy people that were called the Amalekites. All right? And Saul, the king, had went to do what Samuel told him. Samuel had given him some specific instructions, which included the specifications that he was not to spare anything. He was to slay totally everyone, all of their livestock. He was not to spare life at all. It was very specific that this was the requirement that God was expecting from Saul. So we're going to pick up the story here in the 13th verse. Because Samuel came to, maybe we would say get a progress report or a status report. And God had already let Samuel know that he was sorry that he had ever made Saul king, all right, before he ever came. So we'll pick up reading in the 13th verse, and it says, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. That sounds like a pretty positive report, doesn't it? You should be blessed, Samuel, you will be blessed. We have done what the Lord wanted us to do. And isn't it reassuring when maybe your children get older and you give them a task to do and you say, well, how did things go? And they, well, we got the yard all mowed. And then maybe you ask a more specific question, did you mow over behind the chicken house? Well, no, I forgot about that. Did you trim around all of the fence posts, or did you trim around your mama's flower bed down by the road? Oh, we forgot that. But the initial response is, you'll be happy. We got the job done. So that's kind of the way Saul did. He said, blessed be thou of the Lord. We have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? You know, I believe Samuel was wanting to hear, well, we brought some of those along with us from home because we were, thought we might get hungry. They could have, couldn't they? But that's not what happened. And he said, then said Saul, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now, can't you see Saul saying, because the people felt like that we ought to keep some of the best of the livestock to offer sacrifices with. Now, it would just went against our nature to kill those. There was some really, really good livestock there. And because the people realize that God is worth offering, you know, he is worthy of these high caliber sacrifices, we save some to sacrifice. But the rest of them, we killed them all, just like you told us to. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and had utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, because the people, you see, took of the spoil of the sheep and the oxen, and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed of the sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. You see how that Saul was saying, because there's an explanation here. And my thought and my burden here is that we can get caught in the same thing. And the Lord may have some expectations for, he may have spoke to you. He may have spoke to us as a group and said, or as a congregation here, there's something I expect out of you. There's something that I want from you out of your life. It may be something that looks pretty trivial, and it may be something of great magnitude, like this instruction here that God gave Saul and the people. But I wonder sometimes how many times we say, well, because of something, I just can't quite do that. And there's a real reasonable explanation here. It's not something, it's not just a haphazard. I mean, this was, at least from Saul's perspective, this was a legitimate explanation. And you know, the devil would like for us to have a legitimate explanation of why we can't or won't do what God wants us to do. And you know where it ends up? It ends up in spiritual disaster, doesn't it? You know that the Lord said before to Samuel, before Samuel got there, in the 10th verse, it says, "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up king Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." Did you know that when we give a reasonable explanation to the Lord of why we can't measure up, why we can't perform the duties and the expectations that God has for us, when we give Him some kind of reasonable explanation, Lord, you know I was sick, and you know that I that's just against my nature, and I'm not a very outgoing person, or I'm not a very sensitive person, or I'm not a very bold person, or whatever. Lord, there's a reason here that I can't do what you wanted me to do. And what ends up happening is we start drawing back. And the Lord is not able to really fulfill His plan in our lives individually and in our lives collectively as a congregation or as the church in the world. I'd like to go to Genesis now, the 3rd chapter. And this is probably one of the most classic because... I've got a good excuse here, it got out of my hands. It got out of my control. In Genesis, the 3rd chapter, I'll begin reading in the 9th verse. We know all about the failure of Adam and Eve and how they fell to temptation. And in the 9th verse, it says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" Any other time when God had come down to the Garden of Eden, I believe Adam was waiting on him. He was anticipating the close fellowship with God. And here the Lord came down and said, "Adam, where are you? You're not here at our customary meeting place. You're not out in the open. I think God knew where he was. Don't you? God knew where he was at. But Adam was trying to hide. I think he was maybe under some bushes somewheres. And maybe there was some kind of little cave in the Garden of Eden. And I don't know where he was at, but he was hiding. He thought he was. And the Lord said, "Adam, where are you?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid." Now that was an interesting concept. He'd never been afraid of God before. But he said, "I was afraid. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Well, he had never been afraid before. Nothing had changed that God knew of. Well, God did know of it, but there was nothing that had changed from the last time God had met him physically. Spiritually, there was something that had changed. He said, "Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Have you ever been in a situation where someone that did wrong made you feel guilty that they had done wrong? You ever been in that situation? Now here, Adam had failed the Lord, and he was trying to hide. So when the Lord came and was asking him, "Lord, Adam, where are you? Who told you was naked? Who told you how did you know this was, what's going on here?" And Adam said, "Because you give me a woman." That's the reason. That's the reason that I did what I, that's the reason I know I'm naked is because this woman done something. This woman, was it a legitimate explanation? Did he say an untruth? Well, the scripture says that the woman was the one that had the contact with the serpent. That's what the scripture says. And Adam here says, because the woman you give me. You see how that tries to shift. He was trying to shift the blame of his failure onto someone that didn't cause this. And you know, Lord help us as we go along in life, if there's a failure, not to try to shift the blame on the Lord. Yes. Well, Lord, you made me a man, and because you designed me to be attracted to my spouse, and because there's other people that's not dressing the way they ought to, it's caused me to have feelings I shouldn't have felt. And Lord, that's the reason. I mean, you made me that way. You know, there's people that have failed the grace of God in our world today, and they try to give some because excuse that God made them that way, and God put these desires. It's not God's fault, but they're trying to give an excuse, and they're trying to look for a way to not be so depraved in their self. It's not going to work, though. It didn't work for Adam, and it won't work for us today. But I want us to get a hold of in our mind the enemy wants to come along and offer this, just tell them, just because. Because you give me a woman because of the people, because of there's a reason that I got where I'm at. And really, it's not all my fault. It's because something else happened. But all of these situations lead us to a place of spiritual disaster with the Lord. In Luke, the 14th chapter, I'd like to turn there for just a minute and notice what the writer says. In Luke chapter 14, he says here in verse 16, well, maybe 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one excuse, one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, because I bought a piece of ground. I put that word in there, okay? I know because is not in our King James Version. But he says, because I bought a piece of ground, I must needs to go and see it. And I pray thee, have me excused. There's a reason I can't be there. I've bought a piece of ground, and I've got to go make sure that it's a good piece of ground. I got to go prove it. I've got to go check it to see if it's got any rocks. I got to make sure there's no marshy places. It's going to take some time, and I can't make it to your supper because I bought this piece of ground. Now, this is one of the lamer reasons for not coming that I know of. You're supposed to investigate what you're buying before you buy it, not after you buy it. Okay, So let's all keep that in mind. You're going to buy a piece of machinery or a piece of property, don't buy it and then check it out. Buy it, but check it out before you buy it. You know, make sure it's what you're really wanting and what you really need before you buy it. But he thought he had a legitimate reason here. He said, because, I'm putting that word in, I bought a piece of ground, so you're going to have to excuse me this time. And then he went on to say to the other one, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. See, he's got to check something out that he's already agreed to. He says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and have to go and prove them. I pray thee have me excused. Because I've bought a new piece of machinery, and I've got to see if it works or not. Now, I've bought some new tools in my life, and I'm excited about turning them on or using them and making sure that they'll work. But, you know, I can't allow my desire to use my new power tools to keep me from coming to service. If I had if I had a new table saw at the house or whatever, no matter how much I'd want to stay home today and make something with it, I have an obligation. I have a responsibility for my soul. And this is a spiritual application here. He said, but he allowed his temporal decisions to give him, he thought, a legitimate excuse. I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I've got a, because of that, I'm going to have to not meet this obligation here. And he said, another, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Because of a woman, because of a wife here. Those of you that are not married, don't take on a spouse that's going to hinder you spiritually. Don't take on it. Don't agree to a marriage that's going to hinder your walk with the Lord. You know, he said, because I've got a wife now. Well, yes, I know there's responsibilities and there's obligations that come with that, but don't allow that to keep you from the supper. So the servant came and told his master all of this. And did any of this explanation hold water? You know the story as well as I do. It wasn't a one of those held it. The Lord was intent on fill of his the supper being partook of, and they went out to the highways and hedges, and they went out and invited anybody that this is a story that opens up the kingdom of heaven to those Gentiles that we are. It opened it up to others other than just the Jewish nation. That's really the bottom line of this story. But I want us to get a hold of the thought here this morning that we can't give a good enough because explanation to avoid what the Lord is asking for us. And there's not a good enough excuse. There's not a good enough explanation for us not doing what we know to do. What does James 4:17 says? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it has become sin. You know, I feel like that's one of the most it'd be one of the most disappointing things to realize in a spiritual walk with the Lord. Not that I stayed away from all of the things that are vulgar and horribly despicable activities and all of that. It's not good enough to just stay away from all of that, but I have an obligation to do what I know the Lord wants me to do and not give him some kind of explanation of why I can't. Lord, help me to not fail in that line. Not just to stay away from the immoral things out there, the dishonest things out there, the idolatrous things out there, but Lord, the things that you're asking me to do, because you see there's a place that I can fill, a small little place, whatever it might be. And Lord, help me not to say, because I got a new table saw. I just got married, Lord. There's, you know, I can't be able to. Surely you don't expect me to continue to participate in your kingdom. I mean, Lord, you know that I've got married, just got married. Is that going to hold? No, it's not going to hold. I got a new addition to my family. Well, that doesn't keep, that ought to just drive us closer to the Lord. Lord, I want to be a good parent. I want to help me to know how to be what you would have us to be. Lord, help me to not say, because. I thought of the song, a group. I don't know who wrote the song. Excuses. You heard that, haven't you? We'll hear them every day. And we know, as this song says, the devil will supply them if we'll just stay away. The devil knows that he's going to lose if we choose to follow God's commands. But he's around to give us excuses. Whether it's too hot in the summer, too cold in the winter, even when the weather's just right, the song says, you'll find someplace else to go. Whether it's up to the mountains or down to the beach, or just hope some of the kinfolk stop dropping in. There's always a because. Well, I heard that my kinfolk was in the area. You know, they came to Branson, and I know that they're going to have to drive by my place going home. I just thought they might stop. You know, there's the Lord knows all those things, and the devil tries to give us some kind of because. I think, and this is the thing I want us to get a hold of this morning, I think that one of the lamest reasons for us not to have a spiritual connection with God and a real working relationship with the Lord is going to be for us to tell the Lord, well, because of something, I just couldn't do it. Because I bought some land, because I got married, because I had a child, because it was too hot, because it was an old building, because it was too new a building, the song talks about the preacher, you know, preaching too long or not long enough, or being too emotional or not having enough emotion. It talks about all of those kind of things. I think to stand at the judgment day, if it's even possible for someone to say because, I think one of the lamest things that any human could ever say to the Lord is, I'm not spiritual because. I think it's one of the most fruitless excuses that we could ever have. I never could really enter into the service of the Lord because. I never really could find my place in the body because. And I want to get to the other part. You know, there's some people that's going to be in heaven that I hope when I get there, with the help of the Lord, and stand before His throne, I'll be found worthy to enter in. Because there's going to be some folks there that have pressed against obstacles that make my troubles look like nothing. And we got some records of that in the scripture. I'd like to go to Job, the 13th chapter. You know, it's one thing to live our lives and go through life saying, I can't because I couldn't ever meet God's expectation because of the people around me, because I married a wife, because I bought a whatever, because of this and because of that. It's one thing, but I'm expecting to see Job over there. And notice what he says here in Job, the 13th chapter. He says, hold your peace. Let me alone that I may speak. And let me come on. Let come on me what will. Did he say, just let me explain why I can't be faithful to the Lord? That's not even in Job's vocabulary. He said, just give me a chance to speak, and let come on me what will. He says, wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation. For an hypocrite shall not come before him. I realize I cannot give him any excuses. I realize I have to be genuine. He says, hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. Only do not two things unto me, then will I not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thy hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Oh, Job, what is my excuse going to sound like if I say because people didn't appreciate the efforts I made? Because somebody didn't recognize that the Lord's hand was upon me and the Lord was calling me for some kind of great work, I just give up. That's going to be so hollow. Yes. When Job says, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. I cannot do anything different. I am determined not to let anything come between me and my God. There was no explanation in Job that said, because I married a wife. Did you know his wife suggested to him to take another path? And Job could have said, well, Lord, you know, that woman you give me, because you give me a wife, I got to try to make her happy. It was hurting her to see me suffer. So that's why I did what I did. But he didn't do that, did he? He said, you speak as a foolish woman. Where would mankind be today if Adam would have said to Eve? That's the craziest thing I ever heard about. There is no way I'm touching that. The Lord said, don't touch it. If Adam would have said that, where would we be? I don't know. I don't like to fantasize about the impossible, but there would have been something different. There would have been something different. But instead of that, he said, because you give me a woman, I couldn't help myself. Job did. Job said, though you slay me, yet will I serve you. There's going to be people in heaven in spite of the circumstances that they're faced with in life. They're not going to fail to be there because of some kind of weak excuse. They're going to be in heaven in spite of the bad hand they got dealt in life. Because there are going to be people in heaven in spite of being raised in a home environment that the only time they heard God's name was in profanity. There's going to be people in heaven in spite of that. There's going to be people in heaven that's going to be there in spite of being raised in an atmosphere where drugs and alcohol and immorality and all of those things are rampant in their home environment. There are going to be people in heaven in spite of all of that, instead of failing because we had a little bump in the road and I just couldn't bring myself to maintain my integrity with the Lord because the tire came off of my car. And Lord, you could have kept the tire on my car, but it didn't. It came off. And that's why I got mad and threw it all out the window. It's not going to work. The Lord's not going to listen to that. I'd like to turn to Revelation, the 7th chapter, and notice what John observed here. Oh, this is a challenging place in the Scriptures. Revelation 7, we're going to read starting in verse 9. After this, I beheld, he's looking, seeing something in a vision, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. And that's encouraging too. I'm glad there's going to be a great number in heaven. It's not just going to be a Web City crowd. There's going to be a lot of folks there in heaven, and I'm thankful for that. He says, which no man could number of all nations, listen to this, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So he's seen a picture of saved souls in heaven. And well, you'd have to read some more, but trust me, that's what he's talking about. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came thee? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, listen to this. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall they the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away the tears, all tears, from their eyes. Oh, and this, he said, these are they, this is the 14th verse, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are those that came in spite of, not because, Lord, you give me a woman, not because I bought a piece of land, not because I bought some oxen, not because of anything, not because of the people. You know, those people that I go to church with, those people that I work with, those people that are living my community, not because of any of that. They came in spite of. They came through great tribulation. They washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and it made them white as snow. Oh, I'm thankful there's going to be a large number there. It's not going to be a small piddling crowd. There's going to be a large number there that came, that made it in spite of, not because. I just can't do it. Oh, Lord, help me to have an attitude of, I can. I will take my flesh in my teeth, as Job says. In spite of the things that come against me, I'm going to make it with the help of the Lord. I am not giving up. I will not turn loose. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Oh, dear ones, I believe we can make it if we have an in spite of attitude instead of a because attitude. I'd like to read one last scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and notice what the Apostle Paul says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 13, he says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man." You know, there's a lot of men and women that have spouses that have been a hindrance to them spiritually. There's been a lot of us that have had financial obligations that have been a hindrance to people. It could have hindered them if they would have let it. You know, there's been a lot of people that's had family and neighborhoods and atmospheres that could have been a hindrance to them. But instead of them saying because, they came through in spite of the difficulties and washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And I want you to be encouraged that there's no temptation that's taken you but such is common. It's happened to other people. There's other people face what you faced. One of the most powerful tools the enemy will try to use on you is make you feel like you're the only one that's ever faced this. And in reality, there's others that's faced this. There's nothing new under the sun. And if there is, the Lord's going to be there too. If you are, the Lord's going to be right there with you and he's going to help you. He says, "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, and you may be able to bear it." In spite of what's happening to you right now, you can still be saved. In spite of whatever you come against, whatever seems to sap your strength and sap your courage and sap your desires and sap your motivation and all that, in spite of all of that, you can still be victorious. I believe that, and I hope you do too. Lord bless us all today.